بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of the Salah described, and this is class number 10. We finished with the description of the ruku', the bowing posture in Salah. After the ruku' is finished, the musalli, the one praying, straightens up his head, upright position, standing straight. So in this way he would lift his head and his back, standing upright and straight, because this is how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam directed the one who did not pray correctly. He admonished him and said, ثم رفع حتى تطمئن قائما, then stand straight until you become upright in your standing, straightened up. This is a rukun of salah. This is a pillar, and it is a must. Raising the hands with it is a sunnah, and therefore it is better to do. And if the person does not raise the hands with the standing straight move, then his salah is still correct. And we said this is a sunnah. It is affirmed in the hadith of Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, which is in the Sahihain, Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and others, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to raise his hands upon making takbir for ruku', to go for ruku', and upon standing up, standing straight from ruku'. And this is required from the musalli, whether he is an imam or praying alone or praying in congregation. So upon standing up, the musalli, who is imam and who is praying alone, says the following: سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. Allah listens to the one who praises him. Allah listens to the one who praises him. So this is not to be said before standing, nor to be delayed till after. But what about if he says this before, in case he says this before, or delays part of it or its entirety until he straightens up? Some scholars are with the opinion that his salah is invalid. However, the correct opinion that this is an accommodated matter, and therefore it should not be something invalidating the salah, because this would be a burden on people. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Allah listens to the one who praises Him. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ listens. It really means Allah answers. Because mere listening does not benefit the one who is making the praise. Rather, he benefits by the answer. So verily Allah listens and answers the one who praises Him, and the praise which is in Arabic known as Alhamd, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, praise meaning Alhamd, is describing the one praised with perfection out of love and magnification. It means describing the one praised with perfection out of love and magnification. Now if someone says, how come you say that Sami'a means answers, while Alhamd, the praise, there is no dua in it? The answer, whoever praises Allah, in fact, it is as if he wanted to say dua. Because the one who praises Allah seeks reward with him. So if he seeks the reward, then praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bilhamd and remembrance and takbir comprises dua. And so therefore the meaning sami'a answers fits perfectly with the statement sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allah listens to the one who praises Him. Then after standing, the Imam, the Musalli, who is Imam and the one praying alone, says رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. Our Lord, to You is all praise. This is one of the ways this is said. It is said actually in four different ways. Let's listen to them carefully. One of them is رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. O our Lord, and to You is the praise. رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. The second is رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ, بدون, without the waw. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدِ. Our Lord, to You is the praise, or all praise. The third one is اللهم ربنا لك الحمد. اللهم ربنا لك الحمد. O Allah, our Lord, to You is all praise. اللهم ربنا لك الحمد. The fourth one is اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد. ولك الحمد. O Allah, our Lord, and to You is all the praise. Any one of them is sufficient, but it is better for the Musalli to say to say all of them, not at once, meaning diversify. Sometimes he says a certain way, and then the second time or another time says the other one, the other way, because there are benefits in this. In the diversification, there is benefit. Number one is the preservation of the Sunnah. The preservation of the Sunnah. This way you preserve always all the statements. Second is ittiba'u sunnah, following the sunnah. The third is hudur al-qalb, the presence of the heart. Because if the person continues on one format, he would become like a tool, saying it without feeling it. But if he changes from one format to another sometimes, then this would be more ensuring to the presence of an attentive heart. Alhamd. We said that Alhamd is describing the one praised with all perfection, out of love and magnification. And there is a difference between Alhamd and Al-Madh, commending. Al-Madh, and now compare them, compare these two words. Al-Madh and Al-Hamd contain the same letters, but the ordering of the letters are different, and therefore the meanings now differ. And this is from the powerful secret of the Arabic language. Al-Hamd means describing the one praised with all perfection, out of love and magnification. But Al-Madh, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, Al-Madh means wasful mamduh bil kamal, describing the one praised with perfection. But this does not necessitate that it is out of love and magnification. He may commend someone seeking something, a benefit, an interest, or that he may commend him in order to protect and guard against his evil. However, Alhamd cannot be except with love and magnification. And this is the clear difference between Alhamd and Al-Madh. There is another thing which is called Al-Thana, extolling, lauding. It is more particular than Al-Madh. Al-Thana is more particular than Al-Madh, because Al-Thana means repetitive commending. Al-Thana means repetitive commending, as came in the authentic hadith, that when the person in salah says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, حمدني عبدي. Listen carefully. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah says, Allah responds to you in salah. Allah says, حمدني عبدي. My slave praised me. حمدني from حمد. When he says, when the slave now says, الرحمن الرحيم, the most beneficent, the most merciful, Allah says, listen, Allah says, أثنى, from ثناء, أثنى علي عبدي, my slave lauded me, extolled me. So here Allah differentiated between الحمد, praise, and الثناء. So, upon standing up, right, the Musalli says, ربنا ولك الحمد, our Lord, and to you is all the praise. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. It means ربنا ولك الحمد. We discussed what it means. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد, which means ملء السماوات, filling the heavens, meaning a praise, filling the heavens and filling the earth and filling whatever else you wish. And in another narration, وملء ما بينهما, وملء ما بينهما, which means and whatever is in between them, and whatever is in between them. So we repeat now, ربنا ولك الحمد ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما بينهما وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. Our Lord, and to you is all the praise, filling the heavens, filling the earth, and whatever is between them, and whatever else you wish, and whatever else you wish. What does it mean, ملء السماوات والأرض, filling the heavens and the earth? Means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised for every creature He creates and for every action He does. For He deserves all the praise for all of that. And it is known that the heavens and the earth and whatever therein is from the creation of Allah. So the praise therein would fill, would be filling of the heavens and the earth, because the creatures fill the heavens and the earth. This is the meaning. And what does it mean, وَمِلْأَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدٍ, and whatever else you wish? Because the heavens and the earth will be folded, and then the paradise and hellfire, which will remain, is more comprehensive than the presence of the heavens and the earth. And that's why it is mentioned here. And filling whatever else you wish, over which only Allah knows. So the person who is making the salah, if he is an imam, then he says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ on rising from the ruku'. Also the one praying alone says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ on rising from ruku'. Allah listens to the one who praises him. Now, the ma'moom, the one following, says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ upon rising from ruku'. So the ma'moom, the one following, says, upon rising, he says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. And after he straightens up, he says, the rest of the dua, مِلْ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمِلْ الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمِلْ أَمَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْد. Those which we just explained. And this is the preponderating opinion in this matter. Now, is this the end of this dua? Or there is additional part to it. The sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam describes that it has an additional wording to that. And it is, and this is from the sunnah, reported by Sahih Muslim, in Sahih Muslim rather, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, to say in the standing upright position, أَهْلَ الثَّنَاءِ وَالْمَجْدِ أَحَقُّ مَا قَالَ الْعَبْدِ. O possessor of praise and majesty, أحق ما قال العبد, the truest thing a slave has said of you. وكلنا لك عبد, and we are all your slaves. لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت. O Allah, none can prevent what you have willed to bestow, and none can bestow what you have willed to prevent. ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. And no wealth or majesty can benefit anyone, as from you is all wealth and majesty. We repeat, أهل الثناء والمجد أحق ما قال العبد وكلنا لك عبد لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. O possessor of praise and majesty, the truest thing a slave has said of you, and we are all your slaves. O Allah, none can prevent what you have willed to bestow, and none can bestow what you have willed to prevent, and no wealth or majesty can benefit anyone, as from you is all wealth and majesty. Now, in this standing position, where should he put his hands? Where should the musalli put his hands after standing upright from ruku'? Should he put them to the original position in which they were before ruku', putting the right upon the left on the chest, or should he put them aside to his side? What is textually related from Imam Ahmad rahimahullah is that the person has the choice between these two positions, and it is as if Imam Ahmad rahimahullah saw that because there isn't in the Sunnah that which is explicit in this matter, so he concluded that the person can have the choice. And this is what other scholars also had concluded, that this matter is accommodating. And some of the scholars, from the reliable scholars, see that it is rather the sunnah to put them on the chest, and others also from the reliable scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, as you have heard, see that there is no evidence, explicit evidence to that. And this is from the tolerable difference, and therefore it is a matter not to be denounced if the musalli follows one of these opinions of the reliable scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, and it shouldn't be a matter of dispute and opposition. This brings the conclusion of the movement from ruku' in the salah described. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم